What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It is July 30th in this year, 2021. 7 months, seven complete months in 2021. Here we are talking about SmackDown on Fox, Friday night show, Minneapolis. The crowds are back. The build to SummerSlam is in full effect. Alfred, what did you think of tonight's show?
I thought it was a solid show, another nice hot show. There was one thing in a big title feud that I thought was just abysmal that I'm sure we're going to get into. I did not like that contract signing, but most of the show was really good. I love to see Sasha Banks back, and I just love what they did with the women tonight.
Yeah, it was good. But first, before we dive into the show, there's some news. There are some things that happened in the world of professional wrestling this week in between Wednesday when you did AEW and tonight when we're doing SmackDown.
Boy, is there ever a crazy couple of days in wrestling news. So we're just going to go through all of these stories. First of which is AEW at the United Center, the first dance. It's Chicago, Illinois' debut, has already sold more than 12,000 tickets in the city of Chicago. That is heavily anticipated to be CM Punk's debut. And this is the caveat of this. That has not been announced. AEW has kind of telegraphed, you know, fans were chanting CM Punk the other night. Darby Allin had a slick line. MJF had a slick line that kind of hinted towards CM Punk. Nothing has been officially announced, but these fans seem to be believing that CM Punk is going to be at the United Center. So that's pretty much, to me, how they were able to really sell out what is going to be an arena show and one of AEW's biggest shows ever. What do you think about the early ticket sales and the returns? And do you think that this is a win for CM Punk coming to AEW?
So on a pure level of schadenfreude, I would kind of like this to be the biggest disaster of fan booking ever that goes wrong. And you've just got an arena full of people that are just losing their shit. I mean, you have to admit,
you have to admit,
I want CM Punk to debut. I think that'll be great, but kind of just in that morbid curiosity sort of thing. I'm kind of like to see what happened if he didn't, just to see how that went.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a bloodbath. It might be, I don't want to say it's the death of AEW, but it would be a dark day in AEW. You thought that explosion was bad. You thought GCW was bad. You look at all the stuff that gets thrown in the ring and CM Punk does not show up to that show.
I mean, if he's not going to be there, they got to get ahead. They've got letting this go too far out of control if he's not going to be there. Like, they really need to pump the brakes on this.
I completely agree, Glenn. I tend to believe he will be. But if, you know, this was all some kind of miscommunication and, you know, people mistakenly took signals that he's going to be there. If he's not going to be there, they definitely need to come out and say something, whether it's a press release or whatnot. But I find it very hard to believe he's not. All signs point to the fact that he's going to be there. And I think this is a very good night in terms of Rampage, because this is going to be a Friday show. AEW from a week-to-week basis, yes, it's going to start hot. And I'm very excited and bullish on the first couple of weeks of Rampage. But this is a level of show it's going to need to be. They need to put their best foot forward.
Absolutely.
In the arena show.
And I think with CM Punk, because of this, because for years, a CM Punk return, even 2 years ago, I remember being at All Out in Chicago and people were like, is CM Punk going to happen tonight? Like, people then, because he was at StarCast that weekend. I met him in the green room. Like, he was there. He was hanging out. Like, even then, people were expecting that. And I think AEW got a pass because it was still new and All Out was a very fresh live show. We had Jericho winning the title that night. But if this doesn't happen, like, there is no, like, even Daniel Bryan's not a replacement. If Daniel Bryan shows up and CM Punk doesn't, like, short of maybe Brock Lesnar, I'm trying to think of something that the fans would find an acceptable surprise on that level.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. They'll never draw in the city of Chicago again, and they're planning to go back there for All Out, and Chicago has really been a good drawing territory for AEW. And the parallel that I can draw is, you know, the Road Warriors one time were expected to win the tag team championships in Chicago back in the day. And when they lost in that home city, it killed the territory for Jim Crockett Promotions or NWA at the time. And they were never able to draw in Chicago. So that city does not play around in terms of, you know, really a failed promise of CM Punk. If that doesn't come true, they'll never draw another dime in Chicago again.
Diehard fans, man. That would be like as crazy as doing a new Masters of the Universe series and like He-Man dies in the first episode. Like, yeah, exactly. who would do such a thing?
Or he doesn't even show up in the first episode. Yeah. Oh, you guys thought He-Man was going to be on Master of the Universe? Oh, no. Nobody said that. Let's stick with AEW news because this is a fun story. From one legend to another in CM Punk, to Chris Jericho and Nick Gage, a lot of talk about that match that had pizza cutters, light bulbs. It was a death match as advertised. I didn't get to come on here and talk about it on Wednesday, but I thought it was wild and every bit as wild as you would expect a Nick Gage match to be. Problem was it was national television. So there is a little bit of blowback. At one point with Nick Gage having a pizza cutter in his hand, a bloodied pizza cutter, they did air a commercial side-by-side for Domino's Pizza, and Domino's is none too pleased to really be directly associated with this violence. They issued a statement to Front Office Sports. Spokeswoman Jenny Foras-Petko said, "We share the concerns expressed about the incident and the content of this TV-14 rated program and are assessing our advertising presence on it going forward." In other words, Domino's is thinking about pulling their sponsorship from AEW after what was like a blood and guts type match. What did you think about this fallout? Do you think we're going to be seeing much more violence on AEW TV, Glenn?
I mean, Domino's a company that famously advertised during wrestling that if you drop your pizza, we'll replace it, because apparently that's a big enough problem with wrestling fans. I mean, I don't think they're really paying that much attention. I think it's hilarious that this happened. Like, you couldn't have written this better. We were talking off the air about the Larry Sanders Show. Like, this would be a plot that you would write of something if you like wanted to unintentionally piss off a sponsor, right? I mean, it's just so well done. I mean, these things happen. What are the odds? But I mean, Domino should have a sense of humor about this.
I mean, it is kind of like the Garden Weasel episode where, but that was Larry Sanders going on and making fun of the Garden Weasel. But I'll tell you this, as much as I did enjoy seeing this match, because I'm a guy who likes, you know, all kinds of different types of wrestling, it was hard to watch. And I will say that in terms of national television, like nationally televised wrestling and televised wrestling, things like this are going to turn certain segments off. If you're trying to be mainstream, which, you know, whether or not people realize that AEW is attempting to become a mainstream pro wrestling company, the level of WWE. That is the end game. That's why they're spending all this money on all this talent, is because at the end of the day, they want to be, whether it's 1A or even surpass WWE in terms of a mainstream professional wrestling company. And if that's the goal, yes, it's good to cater to wrestling fans and your core audience. But this, I think, might have gone too much in one direction, because Domino's represents money. And Domino's is not the only sponsor that I feel like, if Domino's is felt compelled to go out and issue this statement, I'm sure other sponsors were looking at that being associated with pro wrestling, like, wow, what is going on with this? You know, out of context, seeing all this blood and a pizza cutter and a guy cutting another 50-year-old man with a cutter and everybody's bleeding, that does to a sponsor who maybe not follow this product on a week-to-week basis, is going to look a little strange. And I don't know if they're going to want to get in bed with a company like that, thinking that that's all AEW has to offer.
Well, and it does, you're right, it does alienate a portion of the fan base who, you don't want to make your fan base uncomfortable, and it can happen. You know, I always use the example of what happened with Netflix and American Vandal. Like, season one, universally acclaimed. Season two, in many ways, better than season one. Most people watched the first episode. The crime was so gross, they were like, I can't hang with this. Yeah. And like, just like, and it was just like off a cliff, the viewing numbers, you know. So you can't alienate your core audience when you do something that's really that uncomfortable. That does make people think twice about watching something.
Absolutely. And and also a quick shout out to Pabst Blue Ribbon. They retweeted an article that I had about this whole situation, and they've been really cool about kind of jumping on this moment. They wanted to replace Domino's as a sponsor. And they're one of those Twitter accounts. Wendy's is another one. I think Whataburger is another one that's run by somebody who's clearly a wrestling fan, who knows the ins and outs of wrestling. And they have really capitalized on this, trying to get a sponsorship with AEW. So good for them, and good for the good people at PBR who now follow me on Twitter. So they know what's up.
Oh, well, there you go.
So at least some good came out of this, right?
There's something very interesting about PBR. Have you noticed this? From a can, it tastes okay. At a bar, from a tap, PBR is like an exceptionally solid beer.
Yeah, I agree. There's a place I went to UC Santa Barbara called OTT, and they used to sell $3 PBRs in mugs, actually. And I used to say the same thing, is because in a can, it tastes pretty much like water with alcohol in it. But yeah, in a mug, when it's nice and cold, you got that draft going, PBR, shout us out. And sponsor this podcast, PBR. I really think that you you'd be very happy to sponsor our audience.
Seriously, I will drink PBR at a bar any day of the week. Absolutely. But from a can, it's like that same problem with Budweiser. It just tastes the aluminum, you know, and it's just kind of like,
yeah,
it's not good. Antoine Fair, $2. Alfred with the Luffy from One Piece hat.
Yes, sir.
I don't get the reference.
Today. My hair's growing out a little bit. I still need to get it lined up, but I felt it was fedora weather. So I'm doing fedora today. I like it.
There you go. Finn Abs 499. First Wars Issa. I don't know where Issa is tonight. We were told she wasn't gonna be able to make it, but do we think the CM Punk chance will hijack Raw on Monday since it's in Chicago? Yes. Yes, I do.
You know what? I do not. Here's the thing about CM Punk chance, because this has become kind of a talking point in wrestling communities and circles in that, well, CM Punk chance return. I think we're still in this honeymoon period with WWE. Wow. And I don't expect the CM Punk chance to come back until WWE does something that pisses people off, where they're trying to send a message. Like, CM Punk chance will be like the F this S chant. Like, CM Punk chance happened when Seth Rollins, you know, had that ref stoppage against The Fiend. I think if something like that happens, like what we got with Karrion Kross, I mean, it didn't piss off the mainstream Raw audience because they really didn't know who he was. But if WWE makes a booking decision that people find to be egregious, like if Big E cashes in and loses or something like that, then you're going to get the CM Punk chance. But I do not. Well, in Chicago. OK, yeah, because it's Chicago. And yes, because it's Chicago. Yes, but only because it's Chicago. Even then, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get him. I just, for a WWE crowd, I wouldn't be. And another thing that tells me that it might not happen is Shinsuke Nakamura, Money in the Bank, delivered a GTS. You didn't hear one single CM Punk chant from those crowds. So I think people are over it until they feel like they need to use it to show WWE that they're not pleased.
It's true. It is like the free bird of discontent. Yes. Stellar Justin Lopez, $1.99. I thought that was amazing marketing. I'm assuming you're talking about Domino's. When things like that happen, you just got to roll with it, man. Like, that's, wonderful serendipity at work. The universe, the stars colliding. So what else is going on in the news?
While we're talking about the AEW's partners and sponsors, let's talk about WWE's TV partners, who are reportedly worried not happy that CM Punk might be going to AEW. There's rumors out there that CM Punk's going to AEW. He's all but ready to return to the ring. And Andrew Zarian of the Matt Men podcast reported that partners are shocked that AEW has pulled off the CM Punk deal, and they're none too pleased that he is going to be in AEW. WWE does not seem too concerned with any of this, or AEW in general. Vince McMahon actually recently said that they're nothing in terms of the level of competition that WCW was. So do you think WWE should be more concerned about this? Because it sounds like their TV partners are, but WWE, if you talk to them, are just kind of keeping it pushing. They're not competition. Everything's competition. Do you think they should be downplaying AEW like this?
I mean, I think they have to, right? I mean, we see this in politics all the time. People love to downplay the other side and be like, oh, and sure, they have some hardcore vocal supporters, but, you know, they certainly couldn't beat us in an election. It's I think this is par for the course. What's Vince going to say? Like, oh no, I'm quaking in my boots. I'm not sleeping well. Like, this is really affecting me personally and professionally, you know, like he's not going to come out there and just be like, you know, everybody sell your stock now, 'cause it's all downhill. All downhill from here, you know?
Absolutely. And you got to keep a good poker face. I hope internally that they're not overlooking the competition, just because pride cometh before the fall. You always got to, you know, even the standpoint that they take that everything's competition, that does include AEW. So as long as they're acknowledging that they do present something of a threat, AEW is going to have a lot of momentum. They've got a lot of money behind it. And so they, at the very least, need to be aware that there is competition and they need to stay hungry.
Antoine Fair saying Walmart doesn't care what Target does. I actually disagree. I think Walmart, I mean, they don't publicly say that, but I guarantee you internally,
yeah,
there have been, I mean, that is part of their strategy. That is the only competition.
Yeah. Especially Walmart. If Target gets hot and has an idea. Here's an example. Popeye's chicken sandwich. You know, Popeye's isn't even the second or third biggest fast food chain. Once they came out with the chicken sandwich and everybody wanted it and it smacked, everybody else took the chicken sandwich idea, which is a microcosm of what happens in the society. Something that black people love gets popular, and then everybody copies it. That's what happened with Popeyes, is they had chicken sandwich. Now McDonald's has a chicken sandwich. Burger King has a chicken sandwich. Everybody's got a chicken sandwich. So there is
rock and roll, hip hop.
Yeah.
It's just long, long tradition.
Absolutely. But here's another reason that maybe WWE shouldn't care too much, Glenn, is that Peacock's numbers came out. And it looks like Peacock had a very, very good quarter, very strong quarter. They've broken the 50 million subscriber mark. They had 42 million signups at the end of the first quarter this year. Some of that was attributed to Peacock signing a relationship with the WWE Network. And not only is Peacock thriving, this is synergy. WWE is thriving as well. Nick Khan in the Q2 earnings report reported that viewership for the pay-per-view was up 26% from last year for WrestleMania Backlash. It was up 25% for Money in the Bank, 46% for actually Money in the Bank. And so they're actually doing very well in terms of having more people and getting in front of more eyeballs. So it does seem like this Peacock WWE Network partnership is working for both parties.
Yeah. It seems like it's going well. But again, though, like, there's a disconnect, right? I mean, they're catering to every single audience except those that actually watch TV on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. Like, they're winning the live events. So they're winning with social media. They're winning with Peacock. They're winning with all these deals, except the ratings keep going down lower, lower, and lower.
Right, yeah, the televised ratings, and that is something. And in addition to the ratings, and now the ticket sales are back, and it's good to see that WWE is back selling out arenas, but that is more or less because people have been stuck in the house, so there's an excitement. Before WWE came back, they were struggling with ticket sales, and a lot of these key performance indicators were not doing well, from ticket sales to even WWE Network subscriptions to television viewership. So WWE hopefully is going to be able to gain this momentum, and hopefully they can stick with this momentum that they have behind them. But, you know, Raw ratings, SmackDown ratings have actually been, they've held up pretty nicely with this, you know, pandemic era now kind of being behind us. And WWE just needs to keep this momentum up and avoid those CM Punk chants and not have bad booking. But our final story, which I actually think is big, good booking, but it's a big controversy right now in terms of Adam Hangman Page will not be at the main event at All Out to challenge Kenny Omega for the AEW championship. It looks like that's either going to be Christian Cage, maybe CM Punk, who knows. But Hangman Adam Page was very much expected to win this past week in his team with the Dark Order against the Elite and get that title shot. He did not win that match. A lot of people shocked. Do you think it's a right move to have Hangman Adam Page not challenge Kenny Omega for this cycle of pay-per-view?
I mean, I don't know a lot, but based on what I know in the history of AEW, they invested a lot of money in him, and I feel like it is not working out the way they thought it was going to work out. If you go back to Double or Nothing and what Page was being set up to be the guy that was probably going to chase Jericho, right? Like, that was going to be the chase for the championship. He had those TV good looks, someone everyone could get behind. And then it just didn't connect for whatever reason. And he had, you know, his character reinvention. He's had all this going on. I mean, it's strange to me that here's a guy that had everything, but for whatever reason, like, it just did not work with the audience. Now here he is, not in the main event. I wonder where he goes from here.
Yeah, I actually love that comparison, Glenn, because it is night and day in terms of when AEW started, he was a challenger. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew what made him tick. They just knew he was a good wrestler. And there was a lot of frustration. Like, why the hell is this guy going against Chris Jericho? Nobody bought him. Now we're on the complete opposite. Now everybody loves Hangman Adam Page. He's arguably the most over babyface they have right now. And he's not getting that shot. So people are like, wait, why isn't he getting that shot? He needs to be getting that shot. And I think this is all carefully being done to build to him eventually winning that title. Because I do think if he gets that title shot anytime soon with Kenny Omega, literally in the middle of this really dominant run, I think Kenny Omega would have won that match. And it would have knocked him down a peg to not get that title win his first time out.
Yeah.
I think the first time he challenges for that title, he should win, and they should really build to it. So maybe he's not ready quite yet, but maybe he is 3-4 months away. But I think they're just slowly building to him eventually winning that title. So I have no problem with this.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. New Day Rocks, thank you for your super chat asking about Nick Hausman doing the recaps. Nick is so, but you know, Nick does, if you're not subscribed to the Wrestling Inc. Daily, Nick is like podcasting all the time on the Wrestling Inc. channel. I don't know how he would have time, effort, or energy to possibly do more than what he's already doing. He's like 5 days a week.
Yeah, he does a great job. Great interviews from Nick Hausman too.
Love Nick, and hell of an improv guy as well. Very, very funny. Yeah. Stellar Justin Lopez, $4.99. Felt bad for the guy, but with Punk and Daniel Bryan coming in, his title run would be overshadowed. This makes him more of a sympathetic babyface going forward. It is interesting.
I think AEW knows exactly what they're doing with Hangman Adam Page. I don't think you should shed a tear for him because he is their top babyface, arguably, and I think they're planning for him to win that title. They just shouldn't wait too long to pull that trigger. There's going to be a gray area where they should pull the trigger, and if they wait too long, it's not going to feel as special.
Alonzo has a good point, saying that 50 million subscribers has little to do with WWE. There's a ton of non-WWE content on Peacock. Most subscribers aren't watching WWE at all. Plus, you know, they're getting that Comcast bounce. Like, if you're a Comcast subscriber, I think you get Peacock for free, with ads.
Yeah, and it's not the story is not that WWE Network leads to 50 million. Obviously, the 50 million isn't coming solely from WWE, but it was publicly acknowledged by the Peacock executives when they were asked when they were making statements on their growth. WWE Network has something to do with that. The WWE fan base is a very loyal fan base. They will go over there to watch that. And then there are people who, like you said, get Peacock for free, maybe stumble on the WWE Network. But yeah, I would say a fraction of that 50 million has to do with WWE, but WWE certainly is somewhat of a difference maker in helping them build that momentum.
I credit it all to the Saved by the Bell reboot.
Yeah, I credit The Office because a lot of people were very furious that it left Netflix and actually canceled their Netflix subscription for Peacock because of it. I know quite a few people who have done that.
I do like that they're doing the super cut episodes, but yeah. I got to recommend this. If you do some Googling, folks, I rewatched The Office 2 years ago, and a fan with a lot of time on his hands took all the extra scenes from the DVDs and made like super cut extended episodes for the entire series. So I rewatched it all that way, and it was fantastic to have every single deleted scene inserted back into the episodes. It was really, really good. Yeah,
what
Google.
What character are you, Glenn?
That's a good question. I think I'm probably a Michael Scott, you know, at heart. But I think it is that trajectory, right? We all think we start as the Jim and we become the Michael Scott over time.
I would say I'm a combination of Jim, Daryl, and Andy Bernard. And probably like 50% Andy Bernard and then the rest Jim and Daryl.
Yeah. But what I watch, like with Office, by far one of the all-time greatest sitcoms. And Stella Just Lopez, Buck99, saying, let's be honest, Omega versus Punk or Daniel Bryan is money. Sure. And that's part of it too. But if these guys are on the Friday show, I could see if they have Paige separated. I mean, they can, you know, they're gonna probably have to have a second title or find a way to manage this or put one title on one show and the one on the other. Black Saw Johnny Hex 499 says, I hope WWE fixes with their Peacock streaming issue. That I missed the entire first 10 minutes of the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match due to what happened.
Yeah, a lot of people, and it was pretty much a number, I believe it hit number one in terms of a trending topic in the world because of how many people were just furious that Peacock had those issues, and they really do need it. And that's another thing, that might have been in terms of people looking at what happened, Peacock not being able to handle that many people watching their network at the same time, and it might have crashed.
I don't know, man. When that when Punky Brewster dropped, I mean, there were probably like tens of millions.
There might have been 20 million people trying to watch that. But they definitely need to fix that because Peacock right now with WWE fans, I don't think has endeared itself in terms of those streaming issues.
Antoine Fair, $2, saying, when do you think WWE is going back to the Thunderdome? Oh. I mean, let's see what happens, folks. Don't want to sidetrack this, but
see what that Delta does.
Oh, man. So I'm not going to Nashville next week.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people are not going to Nashville next week.
Had a thought. Yeah, I think AEW should have Hangman Adam Page win that title on Rampage. You know, if they're going to establish this as a show that you have to watch whenever they're ready for him to win that title, I think it should be on an episode of Rampage.
Yeah, there are fierce discussions about the chicken sandwich, the spicy chicken sandwich.
Okay, and let me be clear. I think people are getting the chicken sandwich confused with what Popeyes did. What Popeyes did is a completely different, where you heat it up in a bag and you make the chicken extra hot and then you make the mayonnaise and pickles. The McDonald's spicy McChicken is not that. It's just a chicken sandwich. They made one with the bag and the pickles, okay? That Popeyes model is what's being ripped off. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's the hottest sandwich in all of fast fooding. And now guess what they're doing? Now, you know, this is Popeyes kind of stealing from McDonald's. Now they're going after the chicken nuggets. And when Popeyes comes out with those chicken nuggets, they might reinvent the game again.
Veggie Grill, the all-vegan fast food chain, came out with a spicy chicken sandwich. And let me tell you something, folks that haven't tried this yet, just you could do this at home. One of the best flavor combinations on earth is spicy, sweet, and something like very creamy and rich.
Yes.
So you take there's a sandwich place in California and at Southern California, Ike's Place. If you've never even been to Ike's Place, go there, get the going home for Thanksgiving sandwich, which is turkey, which is cranberry sauce and sriracha. which is like a fantastic mix. Put that some of the Ike's creamy sauce on there, like beautiful combination. It's that same thing. It's like sweet pickles, hot sandwich, like a nice ranch or mayo. Oh, it's, I mean, it's one of the absolute best flavor combinations.
These condiments sound like what this podcast usually is. I'm spicy, East is sweet, and you're creamy and rich. And I mean rich. Like Glenn gets that bag, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. How to follow up that. So this is the first time we've ever heard this one. This is not a food podcast. Get to the rest.
Wasn't Alonzo the one who was talking about food in the chat?
This is a podcast about nostalgia, about movies, about non sequiturs, about music, and then we work wrestling around the other things we want to talk
about. We're going to talk about Applebee's now, and then we'll get to wrestling.
Yes. Oh, Baron Corbin probably regrets leaving that gig, bartending. So tonight, Minneapolis, Minnesota, John Cena comes out to the ring, huge pop, gives a rebuttal to Roman's promo last week. John Cena has, I can't remember the last time John Cena was this over with the crowd.
Yeah. They love this thing. You could kind of hear the John Cena sucks things a little bit, and he kind of acknowledged it, but John Cena is a super baby face, and I like to see it. I mean, it's more of a tribute thing because he's back after being gone for so long. And it's one of those things where you know, absence makes the heart go fonder. So when he was there every single week, people kind of got sick of him because he was, to bring the food analogy back, he was like the McDonald's of WWE, just this brand that you see all the time and he's ubiquitous. But now that there's a novelty to him, people love him. And I love seeing it because he's so good as a baby face.
And his rebuttal made some solid points tonight.
Oh, his rebuttal was, if we're scoring this tonight, John Cena 1, Roman Reigns 0. Like, his rebuttal was fantastic.
It was really good. And then, as if this couldn't get better, Baron Corbin came out to interrupt, trying to ask Cena, get him a roll, give him a hookup, do something. We found out his credit's trashed, his identity's been stolen, and now not everything's working a little after his groin injury last week.
Yeah, and he played up the heel. Like, Baron Corbin seemed like he was on the way to being a babyface between kind of partnering up with Kevin Owens, but now he's right back to being a heel. And, I love this character. I love what he's doing with it, but I really do want to see it as a babyface. I think people eventually want to cheer him between how kind of creative this is, how committed he is to it, and it's a sympathetic figure. Like, he's lost all his money. I really don't think he should be a heel and sour grapes about it, but, I mean, this was a fun segment. I really liked it, but it looks like Baron Corbin, especially what happened later on in the night, is going to be a heel until further notice, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah. Although it's interesting how it's connecting with the audience. I mean, tonight, people were not on his side. Cena was trying to kind of get them almost to cheer for him, but it wasn't working. I think with Corbin, it's just so ingrained. I don't know. They would really have to take this in new and interesting directions.
Yeah, and especially standing next to John Cena, he was instantly positioned as a heel in the segment. He cut off John Cena and interrupted him, and these people knew, like, Pavlovian response to just, like, oh, we got to boo this guy because he's coming after John Cena, who, as you mentioned, was a super babyface in this segment. So they got to just position him if they want to turn him babyface against the heels of this company, like a Dolph Ziggler. I mean, why isn't he going after the Dirty Dogs? They stole his money. Why doesn't he have a beef with them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really crazy. And hey, Baron Corbin tonight with the problems he's having, I think we got to hook him up with the sponsor of this episode, which is BlueChew.com. You know, guys, have you been hit in the nuts by a toy tank that fired a projectile and perhaps, made you feel a little less confident about your ability to perform? Are you having other life issues that are distracting you, perhaps, that are, not allowing you to focus on the things that matter? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Are you worrying about the competition up at night, just wondering what some billionaire is going to do to try and run your company into the ground and take away your livelihood? If you've got so much on your mind that you are not able to get down to business when it's time to get down to business, Blue Chew is for you. We all know that confidence can take you far in life, and it especially helps in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate, and that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. So hey, Baron Corbin, even you can afford this. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises, and the process is oh so simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. So, Baron, just borrow somebody's computer, and you can make this happen. The best part, it's all done online, so there's no visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, So this is really the most patriotic thing you can do for your sex life. They're prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. You know, with Blue Chew, men everywhere are excited to see the postman because when your package has arrived, your package has arrived. Hey. And it's time to get off the couch. It's time to get back to work. If your tool needs an upgrade, head to BlueChew.com. And if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code WINC at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code WINC to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Going to hook Baron up with that. Going to send him a DM. Be like, hell yeah, man.
And if I could just add on to that, John Cena had this great rebuttal to Roman Reigns where he said, if you can find a man who makes missionary position exciting for 20 years, you stay with that man forever. And let me tell you, Blue Chew will make missionary exciting for 20 years. 20 years, Glenn.
20 years. It's a good thing Issa's not here. This would go so much further derailed. No, Blue Chew's the best. Some good Twitter action tonight, everyone. Recommending that to Corbin. And oh, man. And hey, you know, maybe if Domino's doesn't come back, maybe Blue Chew can get that AEW sponsorship slot.
There you go.
So after this opening segment, we had this video about the Mysterios and the Usos setting up Jimmy Uso versus Rey Mysterio, Dominic helping Rey get the win, doing what the Usos did at Money in the Bank, putting his feet on Rey's back to reinforce the pin. What did you think of this match, and how are you feeling about this feud now, Alfred?
It's fine. This feud is kind of in a holding pattern, and now we're getting to that part where they're just kind of interchangeable in terms of we'll have this guy face this tag team partner. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't see the Mysterios getting the title back, so I think maybe they should just move on to something else. But this is one of those matches that is starting to run its course for me in terms of Mysterios and Usos. I feel like they've been going at this for quite some time now.
Yeah, they really, especially for SummerSlam. I mean, I don't know. I guess the Street Profits aren't both cleared, but the thought of the Mysterios against the Usos?
Yeah.
That seems like a pre-show match.
I mean, it was a pre-show. It literally was. See, that's what's ironic. When it was a pre-show match, I don't think it seemed like one. I think that should have been saved for the main show. But now that we've seen it on the pre-show, what's the use of keep running this back?
That's the point. That's the point. You put something on the pre-show, and it conditions people to think this is not as good as everything else.
Exactly.
It is true. It is true. Yeah. Antoine Fair, $5, saying, okay, so Roman has to change every 2 years. He just changed. Also, John, why would Roman be scared of you when he beat you already? I wasn't feeling it. I mean, you got to suspend some disbelief here. Oh, you know what's interesting, though? Tonight, plug Suicide Squad, no mention of Fast 9, which hit streaming this week.
Yeah. I mean, you mean on WWE TV?
Yeah. It was interesting that they would mention Suicide Squad tonight. He's mentioned it a few times.
Yeah,
like we've seen a hype
one at a time. I mean, you can only promote so many things, but yeah, that would have been a nice plug and worthwhile to do that.
Well, and here's the
say, in response to Antoine Fair, I actually loved that rebuttal by John Cena. I think that was a very good point in terms of, you know, saying that maybe it's not every 2 years, but that's a very valid point. And I don't know if people didn't care about Roman Reigns, they definitely care, they just didn't take to him the way that WWE thought they would, and that they had to change Roman Reigns for him to truly connect with his fans in terms of connect as a heel the way they wanted. And the John Cena, yeah, I come back with the stuff that I did last time, but that's really what every wrestler does. This is a nostalgic crowd, and this is a crowd that when Stone Cold Steve Austin comes back, he cracks a beer, hits a stunner. The Rock does an eyebrow. Like, every wrestler comes back and does what they did, and they kind of adapt it to current times, but yes, they're going to do what got them over. Chris Jericho is really the only guy who constantly reinvents himself, and now he's getting his head sliced with a pizza cutter. So, like, that reinvention stuff's a little overrated. And you know what he's doing next week, ladies and gentlemen? Mr. Reinvention is facing Juventud Guerrero, just like in 1997. So, what's old is always new again in professional wrestling. So, I think John Cena did a good job disarming Roman Reigns at that promo.
Here's the crazier thing. I'm thinking now about this Fast 9 lack of promo. Fast 9, Universal Picture. Universal owns USA Network, where Monday Night Raw is. Suicide Squad, WB, which owns TNT, and the Turner Networks that deal with AEW. Very strange that Cena would be promoting that so heavily and not Fast 9. Do you watch Fast 9 yet?
I have not seen it. I've heard that if you suspend your disbelief, what, they go to space now? Is that what happens in this movie?
They do. I watched it last night. I have to say I was a little disappointed. I'm a pretty big mark for the Fast and the Furious series.
Yeah.
This one was kind of boring. Also, they make no attempt to explain how John Cena and Vin Diesel are brothers. Oh, like, yeah. I could suspend disbelief. They know everything like, oh, he's adopted or we have a different mom. Like, just they do not look alike at all.
Oh, we're supposed to believe they're biological brothers?
They are bio, and which is weird too, because I don't want to spoil it, but they open with like a flashback and Michael Rooker has a bit part in it. And I was like, Michael Rooker's character, I thought he was going to be revealed that he was John Cena's character's father.
Right.
And no, that did not happen. That would have made a ton more sense, especially because in the flashback, Michael Rooker's character looks a lot like John Cena. It was very weird. It was all very weird.
You know, I'm a Tokyo Drift apologist. I actually really like that one.
It's the only one I haven't seen. We're going to watch it either tonight or tomorrow.
Watch it. I think, lower your expectations, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I mean, I've seen almost all of them too.
I love Han. Han's one of my favorite characters, but the Tokyo Drift crew is in Fast 9.
Okay.
Yeah, a decent sized part of the movie. But yeah, it's just kind of dull, which is the weirdest thing to say. I mean, I never thought I would say that about Fast and the Furious film, that it was like just kind of there. Mr. 412, $5 Burger King bought Popeye's chicken a few years ago.
Is that true? Oh, actually, I think I didn't hear that.
That makes sense. Well, you know, like there's like Yum Brands, which is Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, KFC. That's why you get the Kentucky Huts, where they're all together.
Yeah, or the Hardee's and Carl's Jr.'s are one of the same.
Yeah, yeah. Brett W. Richardson, $4.99. How sweet was that Backstabber? Backstabber, absolutely loved it. Alfred, nice hat, brother. Glenn, clean shaven, looking good, kid. So the first thing they want is I'm not going to Nashville. Like, I'm just getting rid of my hair. It's going to be
looks
so nice.
Great, man. I loved everything about that Super Chat except the Vikings logo. Go Pack, go.
Vikings are Minnesota.
Yes, Minnesota, where they were tonight, the Target Center.
Yes. I'm not spoiling Fast 9. I've hardly spoiled anything for you. And by the way, the trailer said that they're brothers. Like, it was all over the trailers.
Yeah.
It's the entire hook of the movie. Antoine Fair. And the trailer spoiled another big thing that I would have popped for so huge had it been a surprise, and they spoiled that. But I'm not going to repeat that spoiler. Antoine Fair, $5. Yeah, but he said he changes every 2 years. That part makes no sense. You can't suspend disbelief. Hello, it's a match we saw. Laughing my ass off. It was on WWE YouTube. Yes.
The 2 years was a bit of a stretch, but you got to stretch sometimes. We always suspend our disbelief. We're going to get into suspending disbelief in the next couple of segments, I think.
Alonzo St. Glenn looks like Cross Street, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens.
Oh, man. With bars.
5 years ago when I started this podcast, it was Glenn looks like a fat Finn Balor. So this is where the trajectory of my life is on. Bender Rodriguez, shout out to the Enchirito. Enchirito is pretty bomb. If you go to a Kentucky Hut, ask them to add some mashed potatoes from KFC to your bean burrito at Taco Bell. That's like next level. Very good.
Like there's this rapper named Saweetie, and she eats all these wild concoctions, and now McDonald's is going to have a fast food meal after her. This is a lot of McDonald's references on this show.
Dude, I am all about the secret menu, like especially like with restaurants I love, because I mean I get bored easily. I like little things to change it up. That's why I'm a hot sauce guy, because I watch Hot Ones. I just order stuff like crazy, and that way it's like just a little something to make it different every time.
You forget the Del Taco hot sauce, like the hottest one, like the one in the black packet.
The Fuego Beyond. Yes, well, Scorcho is my jam, but Scorcho used to be the hottest, and then they went with Fuego after that.
I like the Fuego.
Yeah, Scorcho though, I think. I swear, it's man, I missed Del Taco.
You're getting hungry.
Yeah, Del Taco, some good stuff. So back after Rey Mysterio won that match, we had Bianca in the ring. We had Carmella come out. We had Zelina come out. And then we had surprise return, Sasha Banks hugging Bianca. This setting up because she was there to make the save after Vega and Carmella were attacking Bianca. So this was setting up a tag match for later in the night. So how'd you feel about Sasha's return? I mean, the crowd seems super into this.
I loved it. I wish it wasn't spoiled for me. You kind of saw it happening when it was getting set up. But this was great. I mean, especially in terms of how she was received. These people went crazy for her. And she seemed legitimately, like, happy to be back. She really played up just kind of looking around and taking the moment in. And just, she was one of the MVPs of the Empty Arena era. So she's in that arena week in and week out just doing some of the best work of her career with nobody there. And this seemed like finally she got some recognition from an arena full of people. And they just loved to see her.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been curious. I think she could have actually like woken up that Rolling Loud crowd last week for wrestling.
She might have been able to. I mean, I don't know. That would have been a tough ask to try to wake in terms of professional wrestling in general or anything that's not hip hop. especially given the fact that the tickets were sold to the hip hop crowd. But I think Sasha Banks could have given them a run for the money and known what to do in terms of getting them to react.
Yeah, this was good. I mean, I feel like the main event and what we saw happen was telegraphed from a mile away.
Yeah, especially as they got so chummy throughout the show. The only reason I didn't thought it might not happen is because, you know, Pat McAfee was kind of playing up, oh, can we trust Sasha Banks? So I thought they were going to slow play this, but they were being very, very chummy. And I'm just like, oh, it's only a matter of time.
It's actually kind of amazing that when Sasha brought Bayley into the main roster for that tag program, that like there was no even hint. I mean, they treated it like they were old friends.
Right.
On the roster, like, oh, we pushed each other to our limits in NXT, not like I zapped you for the entire portion of your NXT run, and now I'm treating it like we were old buddies. But yeah, it's interesting how tonight it was so over the top, and then what we saw in the main event, and we'll talk about that. Backstage, 24/7 champion Reginald teasing a match tonight, and man, I thought Reggie was pretty over with the crowd.
He's very fun to watch. I think I think they really need to do something else with that theme music because it's just this generic funk music. But he's so fun in terms of how he's perfect for that 24/7 division because he'll like flip away from people and he'll flip around people to try to get away from them. He was a little nervous for this promo, but he's a very charming guy in terms of how he talks. So I think he's going to, once he gets comfortable on the mic, he's really going to endear himself. But I did not know the 24/7 title was a traveling title. Has it always been a thing? I thought it was just a Raw exclusive. But it's been a while since I've seen it defended on SmackDown.
I feel like when SmackDown first came to Fox, I want to say,
yeah,
or something, but yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I think Roman Reigns and I think actually Elias when he had it did a SmackDown match, but yeah, this is what it was, and I think Reggie's a lot of fun with that 24/7 title.
So Otis and Gable came out tonight to answer the call and ended up attacking him. I'm not even sure who was supposed to be in the match.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Gable and Reggie, and they had a disqualification finish. Yeah. It's essentially a hardcore title, like 24/7. It's on whenever, and I guess it could end by disqualification. I learned a lot about this 24/7 title tonight. Like, it's on SmackDown now. It could be ended by disqualification. And you know what? What surprised me is that Otis got Otis chance. Like, these people still haven't forgotten. Like, they were chanting for Otis when he was in there. You're talking about a honeymoon period.
This is Otis country. I mean, he's from Wisconsin. So Minnesota is basically – you know,
yeah, I guess the Midwest, yeah,
it was what it was. I like Reginald more than what they're doing with Gable and Otis at this point. Let's talk about this contract signing tonight. Roman Reigns out with Paul Heyman. What'd you think of this? The way he was setting this up, and then Finn Balor coming out and really playing it like he was so shockingly cordial to Finn Balor. I mean, saying like, I'm gonna beat you and you're gonna send you back to NXT, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. But yeah, like he seemed like surprisingly chill, like very, like no heat between them.
Yeah. I thought Roman Reigns was the only thing that was great in this segment. I thought he was phenomenal in terms of, you're right, he was chill. Even when things started falling apart, Roman's just kicking it. He's just sitting there. He's not even getting up from his chair, not moving when people are fighting around him. He really looked like a badass. He kind of looked above it all, but that's the character, very aloof, you know, nothing really fazes him. So I thought Roman was really good, and he was kind of like big brothering Finn Balor. This is kind of the promo I would expect from the cut-out of Finn Balor, knowing that John Cena's waiting in the wings. He's like, yeah, you're a nice little challenger kid, but I'm going to show you what's up. I'm going to smash you. Like, you know, this is a character. He's very arrogant, and he thinks that he's omnipotent. But, you know, not a fan of what ended up happening in the segment.
Yeah, so Baron Corbin came out setting up this idea that like, well, if I sign the contract, I'm in the match, which this is new. This is a new one. I haven't heard of this before.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Mad Libs. You can just write in your own info and it's binding. Get a notary there. So Baron came out, but then John Cena came out. John Cena takes the contract, signs it, big letter Cena with, and then his signature, just in case we didn't know, he wrote his name. Was like, I better sign this as well. Yeah. So they, Pierce and Sonya said, nope, this is official. This is good. Paul tried to challenge it, but no, it's going to be Roman versus Cena at SummerSlam. This is a weird way to get there.
To say the least, it's a weird way. This is the number one title in your entire company, and you're telling me that it operates by the same rules as a 24/7 championship? And I mean, this made so many people look bad in terms of this segment. Like, okay, so if those are the rules and anybody can sign it, where's everybody else? There's like two guys that want to be champion. Where's everybody else trying to sign their name on the paper? You've now established this rule to where the next time they do a contract signing, because you know there's going to be a next time, I want to see that entire locker room pour out and try to sign that contract, because you've already established that if you sign your name on the contract, you become a number one contender. So I just think this segment made management look bad because they're just sitting there letting this happen, and the commentators are saying, why is this legal? Why are they doing this? This made Cena look like a heel for taking a young up-and-comer spot and signing after just being away for years and then coming back and just signing his name into a title shot. This made Balor look like an idiot. Like, he's supposed to be this babyface who's really hot and challenging. And not, maybe not an idiot, but he now can't even sign a contract to fight for a title. The locker room looked lazy for not coming out. And this title looks like a joke now that you could just sign your name on a contract and that's how you get a title shot for your most important title. So I thought all of this just went wrong. I did not like this segment at all.
And look, they needed to really, I'm curious where they go with the story in this. The story needs to be really good. Baron attacking Finn and tossing him was great. Baron and Finn, I saw them at a few NXT live events have matches. Like, these guys are really good together. This could be a really good match, which could happen next Friday on SmackDown. If they're going to keep that feud going, they really need a good story. But that's where they need someone like an LA Knight. They need, like, Finn's not a big money character. It doesn't really work with Corbin's gimmick. Like, unless this is a one-off, but this is a story going into SummerSlam. They really need to find a way to coalesce, like, Corbin's trajectory with this.
Yeah, and it's so weird that now Corbin's going to be in this wrestling feud against Finn Balor when he's essentially playing a comedy character. Like, Finn Balor now has to work with this homeless guy. And what's Finn Balor going to punch down and say, yeah, you're homeless. You lost all your money. Yeah, Finn, tell him. Like, this is going to be so awkward in that, you know, Finn Balor was trending toward being, you know, an upper echelon guy. I thought they were doing everything right with him. And now that he's just been snatched away from this title picture. And another reason that he looked bad is that he was from the jump presented as the second choice, John Cena.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the ring and they're chanting for John Cena during Finn Balor's contract signing. So, I mean, this guy in one fell swoop has gone from somebody with all this momentum to a mid-carder who's going to be feuding with the homeless guy.
It's unfortunate. Man, there's so much they could do with Corbin still. I think this is the problem. I feel like it's just going to become Vince McMahon, like, making fun of poverty rather than doing more creative and interesting angles. I mean, what if you had someone like Ted DiBiase show up and, like, or someone try to, like, pay Baron to, like, throw the match or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much you could do.
Absolutely.
With this character.
Like, actually,
you know, but I worry. I think it's gonna be a great match, but I think storyline wise, this is going to be just a standstill, you know, and Finn Balor's not gonna, like, what's Finn Balor going to be out there, like, making fun of him for his fall from prosperity? Like, that's not Finn's character.
Exactly. It's a delicate line that they need to cross. And, you know, Baron Corbin, you're right. The wrestling is going to be good. And I love how Baron Corbin works with smaller guys. Like, he did a great job against Chad Gable. And I think Finn Balor is just a great worker. So with a guy like Baron Corbin who knows, you know, how to work that big man style that WWE likes, I think these are going to be good matches. That's not my criticism. My criticism is, like, the storyline and creative direction in terms of we're going to get Baron Corbin now, who I think should be a babyface. He's playing a full-fledged heel. He's right back to Baron Corbin circa 2018.
Yeah. Man, Jose Torres, $4.99, saying XWWE needs to stay away from AEW because it'll take the attention away from the AEW originals. It's like ECW all over again. I mean, I feel like that ship's already sailed somewhat, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's going to be WWE wrestlers appearing in AEW and vice versa. Like, I think this whole discussion of are there too many WWE guys is only happening because WWE hasn't signed AEW guys and they can't. But we're going to get to a point where we normalize this and they're just going to go back and forth. And this is good. One of the reasons I support AEW being a wrestling company and thriving is because it's going to open the market for a lot of these wrestlers and the ceiling to make money is going to go up. So people should not be complaining that WWE guys now get to go to AEW. This is always part of the game in terms of when wrestling is at its hottest, you have multiple companies where people could be millionaires.
Plus, the guys that they're signing, like, I'm trying to think of a delicate way to put this. And maybe it's just that, you know, everyone seemed older in the past, but, like, with TNA and Impact, it seemed like they were signing a lot of guys who just, like, there was a reason why they weren't in the WWE ring anymore. Like, they were at, you know, a later portion of their career, like, but they were given a lot of time and a lot of taking a lot of attention away, but they weren't able to really go and do the type of matches that, like, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and other more homegrown talents were able to deliver. I don't know. I think AEW is doing it better than that because it's not like they're bringing in Ric Flair. It's not like they're saying, you know, that some of these guys that shouldn't be in the ring should be doing matches. I mean, even with Sting, I think they're, from what I understand, they're walking a very careful line with that to not expose his age or the shortcomings for where he's at in his career.
Yeah, and that's the key, and that's something that I agree that AEW has been doing a good job of, is they are very clear about not having the ex-WWE guys, or at least somebody branded as an ex-WWE guy, come in and overrun the territory. Sting is very, very decidedly a background player to Darby Allin. Darby Allin, and that's how you know that he's a big old star, is he can stand next to one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, one of the biggest stars in wrestling history, and Sting does seem like he's the B to Darby's alpha, you know, and it's really, they're doing a good job of using Sting to get the rub and not overshadow Darby.
Yeah. Stellar Justin Lopez, $4.99, saying HBK did that in 04 and it was dumb. They turned that to a three-way WrestleMania Triple X. Finn better be furious next Friday and demand to be put in that match. That's true. Like, Finn already seems chill about this. I mean, if he beats Corbin, he better cut a promo after.
Even before, you know, with Justin, and before, if you were sitting in the ring ready to sign a contract to get the biggest title in the company, he, at the very least, he shouldn't be like, oh, Baron, you're going to get it. He should be like, bump that. You're giving me my title shot. Like, he should at the very least get a match, maybe a TV match against Roman Reigns. Like,
I was going to say Cena to qualify, like an official qualifier against Cena.
You're absolutely, actually, that would make Cena come out. At least it'll make Cena look like he deserves the title shot instead of just upstaging Finn. So that would actually be a better idea, is that he goes one-on-one John Cena, you get a big number for John Cena's in-ring return on SmackDown. But yeah, Finn Balor better be pissed off. I'm with you, Justin, and that he should at the very least demand either a title shot or an opportunity to earn his title shot. But yeah.
Is Bernie DC pointing out one too many X's, Justin Mania 20XX, not Triple X.
Yeah, Triple X was Daniel Bryan winning that title. Nice.
And why wasn't Vin Diesel at Mania Triple X?
Oh, well, maybe we'll get Vin Diesel versus The Rock at Mania 38. XXXVIII.
Yes. So this is where the night lost momentum for me, when we had Cesaro, Big E, and Shinsuke versus Robert Roode, Dolph Ziggler, and Apollo. All of these guys are talented. This just feels like that these guys are like a traveling road company. Like, performing, you know, like Shakespeare at this point. Like, it's kind of like when's the last time you saw these guys not together in some configuration?
Yeah, that's a good point. They're like a mini circus where they're all just kind of tied to each other. Yeah.
I mean, I just, freshness, man. Like, especially in tonight's show, they had so much momentum. I mean, this was fine. Babyfaces won, you know. Rick Boogs got a good reaction from the crowd.
Cesaro's swing is super over. That swing, yeah, they love it.
Yeah, but this felt like a house show match.
It did. Yeah, and this is just something that didn't have any stakes. Maybe they're going to spin off into Nakamura versus Apollo Crews, which I guess would be relatively new, but I do feel like they kind of had something, whether it was a month or maybe even 2 months ago. But yeah, this is just a placeholder match for me.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Then we had Seth Rollins attacking Edge coming out, so... and Rollins taking the mic, cutting a promo. I mean, this is good. They need to sustain this, man. They got 3 more weeks. They got to keep this going.
Yeah. You know, Rollins was good in terms, he fought off We Want Becky chance. I love one of the developed subplots of wrestling. Like, until Becky Lynch comes back, she's going to ruin segments on Raw in terms of people saying We Want Becky. She's going to ruin segments on SmackDown. She just needs to come back so people can stop chanting We Want Becky, because Seth Rollins was cutting a really good promo. And, he kind of fought through this, and he did a good job of ignoring it and shaking it off. But I think that's going to be the takeaway of this segment. Is, and then the fans started chanting, We Want Becky, when he was, I mean, he attacked Edge. He is getting more serious, as I had wanted, but he's not dropping that silly suit that he keeps wearing. But I'll take that as a concession, because I do like the Seth Rollins character right now.
Yeah, it's good. What I see, a photo making the rounds that Becky, her hair is back to, she just got it recolored recently. Now people are speculating.
Red again. Yeah. Orange, actually, yeah. She'll be back soon.
Yeah. SummerSlam, do they hotshot it for SummerSlam, or do they have her surprise?
It's interesting, because now it seems like too late to bring her back for a match at SummerSlam, because they've already decided they're going to do that triple threat match with Nikki A.S.H. and Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. And SmackDown, obviously, is in full swing with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So I think at SummerSlam, we get Becky Lynch stepping up as the next challenger for the Raw Women's Championship, which tells me that Charlotte Flair is going to win another title reign. Let's go!
Man, I like Becky versus Bianca, or Becky versus Sasha. Like, I mean, that'd be so good. So yeah, the main event tonight, we had Sasha Banks and Bianca teaming against Carmella and Zelina. Banks and Bianca winning, and you know, it's all happy good times. But then Sasha attacks Bianca, makes her tap out twice. As we go off the air, I mean, super telegraphed. I don't know if there's really a ton to say about the match. I mean, it was there to get to that end segment, but so Bianca versus Sasha at SummerSlam. Absolutely. Does this feel like too much of a repeat of Mania?
No, especially because Sasha Banks just came back. You know, that's they haven't right. crossed paths, and she's super fresh and super hot. And, you know, she's back to being a heel. And I think this is really good for Bianca Belair. We've been talking about how Bianca, as good as she's been as a champion, hasn't really gotten what I think is a consistent kind of quality run of opponents. Like, no shade against Carmella or anybody like that, but she's been made to do rematch after rematch after rematch. And it's not necessarily that she's just beating one opponent after another. She's just kind of gotten the same two people. And this is a big deal. So if she's able to beat Sasha Banks again, she's going to continue to kind of be a dominant, credible champion. It's going to be a big win. And I'm looking forward to it. It's still a fresh program. It looks like they're going to do things right this time around, and they're not going to have a comedy thing. They only have a couple of weeks to do it. So I think we're going to get a straight up, you know, I'm back to take my title back. And she was screaming at her like, you're only here because of me. So it looks like this is going to be done right as compared to WrestleMania, where they were doing a lot of comedy and I think unnecessarily.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. This is kind of fun when you make it fresh.
Yeah. And you know, Sasha Banks, I mean, she's doing a good, because she's such a great natural heel. Anytime she has to play a babyface, people love her so she can do it. And she's yeah. over, but she's just so good at being a natural heel. But she was really kind of entertaining, just patting that she was playing the babyface times 1,000. Like, come on, everybody, EST. So you just knew. I don't know how long this is going to last, man.
Yeah. We'll see. See where it goes. I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. I think it'll be good.
Who do you think wins? Sasha Banks or Bianca Belair?
I think Bianca should win, but I could see them. See, it depends on where the ratings are. You know what I mean? It depends on, like, I mean, not to get really, let's get really meta about this. Like, depending on the way things are going, like, SummerSlam could be a little bit, like, there could be a pause on live yeah. events. Or maybe some sort of scaling back after SummerSlam, depending on how things are going. So I could see them almost saying, like, we need Sasha because we need to make this as hot as possible if we're going to have to wait a little while again before we go full crowd and tour schedule. You know, as far as like ratings and TV, like, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to think about all of these different factors, but let me just say this. Bianca has done every single thing they've asked of her and more. I think she's been fantastic. She's been holding it down. If she's not connecting, it's because they haven't booked her in a single compelling feud. Like, Bayley was okay. Carmella, I don't feel like ever had any heat behind it. Like, that's on them. That's on WWE Creative. If Bianca, if they deem her not worthy of continuing to hold the championship, like, that is their fault, not hers.
Right, and she has no problem connecting. I mean, she got one of the biggest reactions on the show, and yeah. she, you know, in that match a couple of weeks ago, and Carmella, when they returned to live fans, those people were just eating her up. So, yeah, I don't think she's having a problem connecting, and I really do hope she does beat Sasha Banks, because Sasha Banks can take that loss, even though it's her first big match back. Like, she can afford to lose a match like that and be fine. I just think if Bianca Belair did, it would be a step back, and the title reign would be over before I felt like it really started.
Yeah, but that being said, this is the tough thing about a babyface. This isn't just Sasha. You could take any heel and you could put them, you know, if they're good enough and entertaining enough and have enough swagger and presence, like, you could put them in a feud against a mop
yeah.
and be like, that's a really good feud. Like, a lot of heat in that feud. You know, they really brought it with those promos, man. Really put that mop in its place.
Talk about nostalgia. Maybe we will see Moppy back. Yeah, didn't Saturn used to have Moppy. Maybe we'll see Moppy return with the rest of everybody.
But a babyface can't do that. Bianca can't be out there, like, cutting promos. Like, that's the problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the problem with it. Like, you can't do that. And that's the problem Bianca had with Carmella, because Carmella, like, they haven't developed Carmella's character enough. Right. So Carmella's got like one promo she's been cutting this entire time. You know, it was just not dynamic. And I think that's the thing. It's like, you can't give somebody placeholder opponents. And that was the problem with Bayley, is that Bayley was so dynamic, but the writing for Bianca wasn't as good as the writing for Bayley. So that, this is where it comes into it. And this is where WWE makes like SEMO, the performer, the brass ring performers, get themselves over. They hold their spot. If somebody's more worthy, they're going to work it and outgun them. And it's like, no, what you give them in terms of content, like, you are complicit and part of this partnership that determines how over a performer is with the crowd.
Absolutely. You got to give them the best material to work with so that they can really make use of their talents, because there's a lot of talented people in this company.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I think that with Sasha, like, I could see them doing that, but it's not for the right reasons. It's because I think that they perceive Bianca isn't connecting on the level they think she should be connecting on. Right. You know, or they just don't have any other good feuds. I think you could do Bianca and Sasha though for a while.
Yeah, for sure. I would, maybe they run it back. They're going to have a great match. People are going to be hot for this match. It's going to be, you know, going to be one of the bigger matches on the show. It's going to be a loaded card, because I was going to say I could see this show match closing the show, but I mean, we got so many, you know, this is Goldberg's coming back. Cena's going to be back there. They're going to get Edge and Seth Rollins. There's going to be a lot of big matches. So this will be, I know they're going to try to place this in a place that's not going to be a popcorn match. So it'll be put somewhere where people are going to really react to it. It might even open the show, which is a big spot. And a great place to be for a match.
Yeah. Brett W. Richardson, $4.99. Do you think Sasha goes heel if Bayley didn't get hurt?
That's a good question. I do. I think this was always the plan. I don't think this is a, we got to bring Sasha back for Bianca Belair. I think the plan always was, when Sasha comes back, it's going to be at SummerSlam against Bianca Belair. I think this is always what they wanted to do.
I would like to see Bayley with Sasha again.
I would like to see Bayley again, period. Like, just because she hurt herself, I know she's rehabbing, but she could do that talk show. She's a very valuable asset. I mean, part of her getting over during that pandemic period was the character. I mean, as great of a wrestler as she was, she really developed as a talker and as a character, as an act. So she could do this with one leg. It'd be fine.
People don't do that on the main roster, though. I mean, in fact, the only history, and I'm not saying, and maybe this is a case where it's like a little bit hustle and then just being crazy enough to do it. The only case I can think of with this is Enzo, when he got hurt in NXT, and you hear him talk about it, and he was like, I'm not going to stay off TV. Like, they're going to fire me if I'm off TV. So he, like, got a Rascal scooter and showed up, like, ready to go.
What The Miz is doing right now, actually. Yeah. He's you know, he's not getting off TV. He's got one leg. He's got the drip sticks, and he's been cutting promos and, you know, doing the turtle spot.
So, Bayley, get yourself a scooter. Show up. You know, do what you can. When you're ready. When you're ready to.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that's interesting. So, because The Miz ends up, like, but we don't see that a lot, though. It's interesting. Normally, yeah. People just go away and they almost let creative forget about them, which is very
take
unfortunate.
Take him off TV and you're not going to see him for a while. But, you know, Miz is one of those rare breeds. All he wants to do is work and, you know, be on TV. But yeah, you typically they'll just get taken off TV.
But you also have to think with the schedule and with everything, like, time off from WWE. Like, let's just, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of your average superstar. That's all got to sound maybe not like the worst thing.
Right. Yeah, especially not only for your body to heal, but wrestling fans, you saw tonight with Sasha Banks, when you come back, you're over. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Wrestling is 365 days, 24/7. So seeing the same people over and over, your reactions are going to peter out or they're going to settle to a certain level. But when you come back, you're going to be a fresh coat of paint, and they're going to love to see you.
Yeah. So there you have it. That was SmackDown tonight. 3 weeks till SummerSlam, right?
Yes, 3 weeks.
3 weeks from Sunday.
Shaping up to be a really good show. I'm actually very excited. I'll be there, and I'm very much looking forward to being in Vegas for SummerSlam.
And 3 weeks from tonight, AEW Rampage starts, right?
August 20th. Oh, no, August 13th, yes.
13th? I thought it was the 20th. I believe. 13th?
Yeah, 20th is going to be the second show, I believe, but it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. They're really gearing up for AEW Rampage. I think, you know, at least in this first couple of months, again, this needs to be on the same level of Dynamite. They're going to really need every single week to compete for attention, because Friday night for the younger demographic that AEW has is going to be tough to maintain like a strong audience. But I think they're going to absolutely do it this first couple of months.
I'm curious about this. Oh, is Rampage only going to be an hour-long show?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I think it's 2 hours, though.
Oh. What will that mean for this podcast?
Yeah, I know this podcast is planning on covering Rampage. So we'll see. I can tell you that. But every Friday at 10 Eastern, I don't know what the time is. I'm pretty sure it's 2 hours. But
no, it's an hour.
Chat, if anybody in the chat knows, is it an hour?
Saying it's an hour.
Oh, okay. Well, the chat's saying it's an hour.
I'm in for the first few. We'll see how this goes. But do the SmackDown fans want that? Do our Smackheads here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast want us to cover AEW Rampage on the same show as SmackDown?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be the same show. I really don't know how it's going to look. I don't know what the production is going to be for this. But I know there is a plan to cover Rampage in some capacity. I just don't know if it's going to be on the same podcast as SmackDown or if there's going to be a separate component for Rampage. But listen, it's at Rampage, we can't not cover, especially if CM Punk shows up on Rampage. You can't not cover that.
True. I don't know. I might just go full Paramount, Back to the Future, Legally Blonde again.
Yeah. I miss those. I miss those little troll jobs.
Oh, I'm just going to recap Clifford. I'll reenact Clifford in its entirety. I basically watched the second time. I've gone on YouTube after watching the Tuesday. I got to say this again. If you have not seen 1994's Clifford, this movie escaped me. I had a misconception what it was about. This movie is nuts and is seriously one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Because it's just bizarre. Martin Short, at 40 years old, plays a 10-year-old boy against Charles Grodin, his uncle, and he plays it like... they don't try and explain it. It's not like the movie Jack.
The movie Jack. I love that movie.
Really?
I did like Jack when I was a kid. And, you know, I haven't seen it in a while, but I absolutely loved the movie Jack. It also features He Who Should Not Be Named.
Yeah, I was going to say, parts of Jack. Parts of Jack are aging worse than the character of Jack, which you'd get the reference if you'd seen the movie Jack. Jackson Callens. Puck 99 saying, here's money. Thank you, Jackson.
Thank you, Jax.
Cool. Okay. Well, have a great weekend, everyone. I will see you back here on Tuesday for NXT coverage. Issa will be back with us on Tuesday, and have a great weekend. Until then, this is Nasty. I'm Macklin Rubenstein. Take care, everyone.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.